Oh, hey, everybody. It's another Bright Side Podcast, and today is an interesting episode. It's our drunk finance episode, where we get drunk and talk about finance, which is pretty much all I really do. So, basically, I have my friend Jeff, Tony, and later on my friend Barry jumps along, and we all just talk about finance slash business news, and just, you know, we don't cover everything, okay? And we're not, you know, the most analytical or the best or perhaps even in the best condition or mental state to be talking about such things, but we do it anyway. I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway, it's a pretty good episode. We cover a few topics, and we also talk about finance in a philosophical aspect. And we also talk about how, you know, some businesses or some investors view business in general or the economy, and it's interesting. There's many different perspectives on finance, and I mean, we don't all agree, but I think there's some attributes we should all adopt. And I think we kind of touch on that. I'm Christian, and this is another Bright Side Podcast.
I have pretty interesting ideas. As a matter of fact, I'll see if I can reconnect with him. He doesn't believe in currency.
He's like a
man after my heart. Yeah.
He's like, why do you study this? So he just came up to me. He's like, why do you study this?
What you mean, what do you study this? Isn't the whole U.S. wrong?
Like, I don't even understand. And at first, I thought he was some kind of idiot. But then he explained it himself, and I was like, shit, he actually has method to his madness.
He's right.
And that's always a fight between, like, in many schools, I hear engineers versus, like, business majors. Like, oh, you business majors are blah, blah. It's pure bullshit.
In a way. Okay.
Well, in a way, they're right. But then, I mean, they're right. Finance is bullshit.
Yeah, it is. But then a lot of, you know, that many careers are crisscrossed. A lot of finance positions or anything want engineers for, like, algorithms and programming.
Well, this is the way I look at it, is that just like most arts and most, like, mathematically intense kind of subjects. The thing is that there's a connection between geometry, calculus, finance, and engineering. Straight up.
That's true, yeah. That's what they say, like a math, like math-based application.
Because like everything is mathematical.
Math. Okay. Yeah.
Everything that you want to build, in Mother Nature in itself uses Fibonacci sequences that are used in geometry, calculus.
Even, like you said, even like for, like say, data, for,
no, but how
trading,
does that mean?
Yeah, even for trading, they use Fibonacci.
Well, all of that shit, well, all of, here's the thing, and this is something that I've kind of understood better now that I've graduated than I thought it was going to be. Basically, no. I kind of understood better what the compound effect is. You know, like,
that's something very important.
Yeah, because when I was in finance, like, I'm like, all right, the compound effect is when you just add investing.
Yeah,
but the compound effect is extremely unique in the fact that it's a concept that you should be adopting in your own personal life, where you constantly are trying to perfect yourself or grow yourself into something that you want to be, and so just little fucking things like changing the way you eat. Working out,
true.
Putting money inside a savings account, you know, just reading just 15 minutes extra every day.
Or, because on top of, like you said, it's like a never learning process. Like, you learn more and more and more. It
exactly.
Just adds up to what you know already. And it, like, it kind of gives you a better understanding of everything. And that.
Yeah, because you start understanding that it's not like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that happen like this.
But yeah. that in a way gives credence to finance, because it pretty much tells you.
That you're right. The theory
says it takes time to grow.
You know, you're right. But there's a difference between what people in engineering hate about finance and what finance people hate about themselves.
Right? Yeah, because, they said out of
right? I mean, like...
Income statements, balance
sheets, and everything. Here's the thing is that in finance, in like real personal finance, it's just really discipline. And if you know how to... If you know like economic savings. Behavior, uh-huh. then you can understand how finance will... eventually benefit you. The problem is that in engineering, you're actually building something.
It's a lot more tangible, you're saying.
A lot more tangible, but a lot more stable.
I see what you're saying.
And finance is entirely based on the concept of...
The economy, basically, the way I see it, is basically what's going to happen. In
imaginary numbers.
So, exactly. I mean, I
and
heard
projections,
this.
That's where the way exactly. I see it. Like you say, like, oh, we predict, like, you know, if you invest this, we predict that it might, you might double it in 70 years.
And there's a lot of averaging out, which is good to forecast, but when you're talking about, like, people's livelihood,
that's
people,
exactly,
you know?
That's like a philosophical argument against economics in general.
That's
fundamental basis of all economic models, finance models, it's a lot of assumptions. So a lot of people who are philosophically inclined, they say, like, that's the point. There is no all things equal in real life. The factors always change, and you can never really predict it. We can build models that approximate it, but life is just so... The universe is so... unpredictable that
it's abstract and spontaneous.
Yeah. So I get that point.
Stuff like that, like you said, like econ, like you said, that's why many people are like, why is econ an arts degree? It's not that something like you apply, it's just a theory that you know, that you understand, that you read, oh, this happened. That's why many people are like, why is econ, if it deals with numbers and stuff like that, why is it a application?
An arts, yeah.
Arts degree, it's not a science degree, and many people are like, what?
Well, because it has to deal with the perspective and your understanding of the world. And in many ways, that's what the arts are about. You know, it's you expressing and understanding the world around you and expressing that through a mathematical sense where you're literally and this is what I really like about behavioral economics is... You understand how everything works,
absolutely.
Right?
And yeah, and like you said, how everything is related and how everything is inverse related? Like, how does this affect this? Based on a lot of historical facts too, because that's what it's based on. Like a lot of these econ theories and stuff like that, like Keynesian economics and all these. Like, well, this happens, the law of supply and demand, which is kind of like you said, that's pretty straightforward. Oh yeah,
it's. Well, but you that's why I respect it, though. Even though it is abstract,
like,
and
so much.
Yeah, me too. Even though it is abstract, and a lot of these models are based on assumptions that may not be true in the real world all the time, they're good approximations. Like Jeff said, it's like certain phenomena have an inverse relationship.
That's true.
We measure that through economics and finance. So I mean, of course, I come from a finance background. I don't think it's BS, but I can understand.
And that's what
the position of those who say it is.
Technical traders do. That's what all they use: pure graphs and everything, because they see history tends to repeat itself. Some people are like, oh.
But all right. Well, the problem with day trading, in my opinion.
Technical traders, people that use like graphs and Fibonacci numbers and resistance indicators and stuff like that.
There's nothing wrong with that, except. Even though there is like perfect geometry, quote unquote, you know, sacred geometry where everything fits together and mathematically the universe can be explained by these geometrical shapes being put together in a certain way, and it all just kind of fits together and makes sense of the world. The problem is, even though mathematically and theoretically it coincides with physics and the laws of nature, nature isn't perfect either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still, like, random shit that happens that we can't explain, that really nature just kind of
like
fucks
you said,
up.
Even evolution fucks up, too. And some people are like, oh, what happened? Why is this going this? Like you said.
Yeah. There's no way to predict those things. And even if you base everything on a...
Sound mathematics.
No, a shame. A shape. You know, because that's what they're doing when they day trade. They're looking at graphs and trying to
match. Yeah, like you said, most of them build like lows and highs. That's important. Like triangle trading. Like you said, here's point A and it was low. This is the highest in between. I should know the realm between the R1 where the lowest level should drop and lowest level might increase. Like if it drops below this, then you should buy it.
Well, the problem with that also is that, You know, you're just looking at that moment, like that's where true. You think where you think the rest of the shape is going to conclude. And this is where the deep fundamentals of true finance and understanding of companies and, you know, thinking on the long term and understanding management and where this company wants to go.
And that's like you said, that's the fundamental part where people also don't like reading, like, oh, you got to read the financial statements, read what they say.
Nobody wants to do that.
Because you're like, it's going to take me too long for actually read that. By that time, the stock might already skyrocket or might already drop or something might have happened. And some people, but that's like you said, that Warren Buffett style trading super long term, over long term. But there's a lot of day traders like, nah, it's too long. Especially if you're a wealth manager. It's not, you're not worried too much about that. I mean, you are going to be worried about the long term, but you're trying to make profit for your clients.
You gotta make sure you get the max profit. Get that. It's open. I don't know.
I think I heard somebody. But yeah, like you said, that's the thing about, like, you said, technical traders versus fundamental traders, which fundamentals worry more about, like, oh yeah, what's the company going to do 3-4 years from now? What are they going to do? What are their plans? Are they going to acquire companies and stuff like that? And technical traders don't care about that stuff, really. I mean, they do because it kind of affects them, but they're more about, like, oh yeah, what's the 20-day moving average, 25-year moving average from yesterday, or what's the daily moving average? And that's what they base their transactions on.
Yeah. Day trading focuses too much on what's going to happen the next second and not thinking about where's the vision of this company or the portfolio. You know, like, what's the game plan here?
Yeah, like, yeah, you don't care about what Disney, if they're going to open a new ride or all this type of stuff, or are they going to open a new resort. All you care about is, like, what's the price, what's the stock movement, what's the volume from the past 5 days?
Yeah.
And is it going to mimic the same thing the next 5 days going forward or going back or stuff like that? That's what you said. A lot of technical traders use that moving average, exponential moving average, and all these different...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you... And you can't really live life like that. When you understand fully what the world around you is doing and how spontaneous it is, but how much common sense it has too. Like, there's a lot of things in this world that confuse the shit out of me. But
I think that's everybody.
Right? But also, there's a method to this madness too. It's not always perfect, but it's not supposed to be perfect intentionally. Right?
Yeah, because they said that.
There's a game plan and there's mistakes on the way, but there's a game plan, there's a goal, and it's to grow.
To grow and that's, all, yeah,
you know, and that's the goal for everything.
Yeah, right? And it also helps spread knowledge because people want, like, oh, what happened? It's try to figure this out, do some medical tests or et cetera, or scientists or whatever. Yeah. Like, what happened? What's went wrong? Why did this plant evolutionize like this, or why it come? Why did this tree or this child was born like this way, and et cetera? And yeah, that kind of expands also our knowledge further.
Yeah, and in a way, that's the meaning to life, and that's the point of the compound effect. To bring it back. The point of the compound effect is to grow.
That's true, grow.
And you know, you may not see the fruits of your labor, but you know what? Fuck, man, there's a whole fucking universe that you're part of that will just keep on working at it. And you're part of that. You know, and that's kind of the way I look at finance. Is that it identifies what the point of all of us is. The point is for us to grow. And now all of us do. And some of us, you know, fuck up on the way. Others are successful at it. And very few are fucking astronomical at it. And it might be financial. It might be just, you know, as a father, as an artist, as
a musician or a sports athlete or stuff like that.
It's taking the time to learn and grow and expand yourself as much as possible. That's something
that you could apply to, like, weightlifting. You compound effect. Start lifting more weights and you add another 5 pounds and then lift more and then add another 20 pounds or add another rep or set and there.
I think it's because a lot of people attach this growth to money. And a lot of people just don't see money as... They see money as something evil inherently.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about, oh yeah, you know, I want to make so much in 10 years and make more and more, people confuse that with greed. Yeah, it's... I guess, like, some people are greedy about it, but if you do it for your own success and for your own life, it's nothing wrong with it. People always bash on people, like, yeah.
Hey, man, there's some asshole athletes out there, but yeah, they're fucking awesome athletes.
Yeah, like you said, in every type of thing, there's some asshole like you said, athletes, like some golf player, everything, like you said, even.
But here's the thing is that not everybody who has money is a dick. And a lot of them, most people who are rich, they're brand new to it. They're new money. And they're people that are trying to grow something for their kids, for their families, or they probably would have worked so hard even without the money.
And
maybe.
I think a big influence is the whole media for these like athletes and stuff. Sometimes they have to bring up, like you said, when it comes to boxing, sometimes they have to bring up all these cases with, like, you know, all these issues and stuff to make it seem like get more views or something right. like that. You get like boxing matches or stuff, MMA, like talk shit to each other, like before the weigh in or stuff like that. Like, oh, you know, they're gonna get down or something. It's just media portray. It's just to influence for them to bring in also more income, more viewers and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, this athlete, he thinks he saw that, he's an ass or anything, but in real life, I don't think some of them are like that. It's just like, oh, yeah, you act like you're gonna do this and that.
And of course, like in the pathway of making money, some people get fucked up.
Yeah,
right. But I think that's the point of a lot of people
who
talk against money.
It's, but obviously, like, we're finance majors. We don't want to see McDonald's, you know, workforce be 30% on a welfare or Walmart's, you know, 30% of their workforce is on welfare.
But,
or we don't want to see Gap's, you know, factory burn up in Bangladesh. Like, that's, nobody wants to see that. That's true. Actually awful.
Because at the bottom line, people care about, in a finance, basically an investment perspective, that messes up the company, and that's what people care about.
Yeah,
I mean, some people care more about the money and everything besides the social welfare of the company.
Did you guys hear about Tyson Foods for the poultry workers making them so they don't have any, I guess, restroom breaks? And they have to keep working straight.
Well, it's China, right?
So they told or gave their employees diapers in order to defecate them.
Oh my God! Yeah. Is that part of the employment summary? You will be forced to wear a diaper.
They say it's an official thing. It wasn't like something.
Yeah, I remember hearing about some cases like that. Because they don't want to move.
I'm not sure what the reason is, but I read it earlier today.
I mean,
adult diapers.
That's food. Isn't the FDA like doing something over there?
Do they have an FDA?
They might. It's an investigation for the labor laws.
I heard that the government over there was going to start cracking down on a lot of these companies, I guess. Even though it's a communist, whatever. But
what? Communist?
I mean, it's a communist government in China.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you said philosophically.
Because Tyson Food... Look, China has, like, this poultry problem going on where they had a whole, like... disease or infection happening around the same time that we had the original mad cow disease. Mm-hmm. Well, not the original. I think the second time we had the mad cow disease, which was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Which company? It was years ago.
But China never got over theirs, and it was in poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big issue because China eats a lot of fucking chicken.
Exactly.
Right, dude?
I remember I was reading an article that China is the number one importer of chicken eggs from the U.S.
Yeah, well, chickens...
Chicken feet.
Chickens are literally the most slaughtered animal in the whole world. Yeah,
and here's the thing is that...
But the feet...
Because there's there's another one. What's the conglomerate company that owns, I think, KFC?
That's actually a Pepsi. I think it's still Pepsi.
No, it's not Pepsi.
Yeah.
Is it?
Because it's like Frito-Lay, it's Taco Bell,
Jack
KFC.
In the Box?
Oh, Jack in the Box.
Or Jack in the Box and KFC? Or?
Oh, no. Well, KFC is part of
the Pepsi brand.
Pepsi, yeah, yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, that one is.
There's also the merger between the KFC, the, what's it called?
Yum Foods.
Yum Foods is one.
Yum Foods.
Major ones, yeah.
Yum Foods stock has been fucking getting nailed because of all this poultry problems that have arisen in China, and so they've been having declining sales. They were one of the biggest ones that had the declining sales in China.
Okay.
And you know them and Tyson Foods. They're all getting beat up on that. Even though Tyson Foods, I believe, did a pretty good quarter, right?
I think so. I mean, they own a lot of brands that do very well.
Yeah,
so
they're like the number one distributor for, like, I think, for a lot of these big franchise food, chicken wing companies or whatever. Like, I think they're the number one distributor. For, like, I think that's they have a big contract with Buffalo Wild Wings or something. Too.
Probably. Mm. I mean, they say chicken, like I said, it's the most eaten animal on the planet. Yeah, especially like Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo. And its demand has increased a lot in the past 20 years, too.
God damn. But
with some people, it hasn't. I mean, some people are vegan, so they don't even.
I'm sure that. Some people. Yeah.
All these slaughtered animals. Bloody boar is all I can think of as a vegan when you're talking about this.
Yeah, well, we should just go for a steak after. And,
oh no.
in other fucking business news, yeah. Disney came out with their. Earnings call, I think, what, last week or this? No, it was this week.
It was at the beginning of this week or something?
Something like that. Well, anyway, it was the first time in 19 quarters that they missed analyst expectations or analyst estimates. But, I mean, they still beat their own loose, mediocre guidance. But here's the thing, is that the majority of their revenue is now coming from what merchandises, also the parks, and also the movie production.
Yeah, and some of it from their like Carnival cruises and stuff, like that, and their hotels.
And I mean, their production, their cinemas primarily have been bringing so much fucking revenue.
Yeah, with that big box office,
Yeah, but
and they own the Star Wars franchise, though, right?
Yeah, apparently they weren't. Shareholders weren't impressed because the stock got hit. What, I think 5%.
Yeah, it dropped back to like 90,
like 90, 90, like below 100.
Yeah, just like 90 something. I don't know what it dropped, but it dropped from 100 and something back down to 90. Yeah, people weren't impressed. I mean, I think sometimes investors have too much expectations for a company that you expect growth after growth after growth after growth, and it's hard to keep that up, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that the reason why investors were upset was because of the drop in and losing subscription sales on ESPN, which
it's owned by,
you know, obviously the awesome fucking purchase that Robert Iger did back in the day, and just blew up ESPN, which is the number one cable.
ESPN, and also the ABC, which also ABC also has
sports. Oh yeah, that too.
ABC,
ESPN.
They show some like basketball games.
But here's the thing: is investors are getting upset because ESPN is dying out. But look at this, the rest of the shit that's happening.
Compare them to Apple, too. You see Apple also? Apple is getting...
Getting nailed.
Because people are saying, like, the hype for this iPhone 7 is not going to be as big as they expected.
I agree.
Their Macs and their iPads haven't been setting as much as they predicted. They've been cutting forecasts and productions, and their outlook doesn't look as good, and investors are kind of getting worried. Like, are they innovative still?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, look at the iPhone, whatever SE that they came out with. Somebody's like, point of it?
I mean, I like Tim Cook. He's gay. He's, you know, he's tall. And he's good at operations, which is what his original role was. Mm-hmm. He was the COO, right? And that's what he does. He's great at it. And he's run that company fucking awesomely. But since his reign, no real new products have come out. I mean, except for the Apple Watch, right?
Yeah. I mean, but
that was okay. It did okay.
Okay, yeah.
But in like, international markets.
And that's the thing. I think kind of what I see right now is like Microsoft is the one that's kind of being a little bit more innovative nowadays. Now I've seen that their Surface Pro tablets or 18 are actually taking over, because a lot of people, they're actually, like you said, it's a tablet, but it could also run like a tablet computer, but it could also run like high programs like Dream, like what's called the 3D CAD programs for design and stuff like that. And some people are like, wow. Now I see right now that their Windows 10 that they came out with, it's actually going to be able to run on Xbox, so you're going to be able to do extra spreadsheets on your Xbox.
I remember one of our professors said that, and this is about 2 years ago when Apple, I think, released dividends. He mentioned that sometimes a company paying dividends is a bad sign because they're not using it to reinvest in the company, and that includes the R&D. So, and he basically mentioned that it was a way to keep their shareholders there, happy.
Like you said, but like you said also, like you said, if they cut down on their dividends, then investors get mad. And that's really what happened.
There's been less R&D, so maybe on that he was right that day.
Well,
but
I mean,
if they have so much money, Apple has
that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. Something that, you know, Microsoft doesn't have as much is the huge amount of cash that Apple has on their balance sheet.
That's true.
It's ridiculous. And they, most of it is invested in marketable securities.
That's true.
However, though, just this morning, I don't know if you guys read, Apple just invested $1 billion into a Chinese version of Uber.
And then I didn't read the statement, but I heard that Uber, the CEO or the whatever, the founder, the Uber CEO, actually kind of laughed or mocked about them or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man.
I just saw
$1 billion is a lot of fucking,
that's a big
But yeah, but like you said, compared to Uber, I think Apple's the one that's trying to also get in this in the electric car vehicle, self-driving car vehicle market.
Well, yeah.
I think Google teamed up with, I forgot with what car company recently. They teamed up with a.
Google's with Uber.
Yeah, Google's with Uber, but also they teamed up with a small car company. I forgot which one to try to develop.
GM?
Self-driving cars. No, I forgot which one was it.
I think GM is doing it on their own.
GM is doing it.
God damn you, Jeff. You just forgot. You just dropped the ball. God damn it.
Yeah, I forgot. But yeah, we
got a PBR hat.
Pabst
beer. No, I like Pabst actually.
It's actually a budget beer, cheaper, but actually good. When you could be like,
what kind of beer do you say? A what beer?
Pabst beer. That's
like a budget
PBR. It's his hat.
Oh, cheap beer. I know that.
Oh yeah, no. I'd prefer it over Budweiser, Bud Light, or you know, or Natty Ice. Oh, it's so disgusting. Oh yeah, go get that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But hey, but like, you see that the big beer mergers also that's been going on, right? Too. I think Budweiser changed their name for the summertime to America. I was like, what? And they're owned now by a German company. Many people are like, what's
the Well, that's the thing. That's a
they
thing.
They want to keep it that it's still American.
It's still American. Yeah. Barry! My buddy Barry. He's on here.
How's it going?
Hey. Hey. Hey, pass. You want to smoke?
For sure, sure.
All right, here, bud. So, talking about driverless vehicles, NVIDIA just released earnings. What you got for me, Jeff? Come on, buddy. You can do this. I believe in you.
Yeah,
share me some info.
Their earnings and stuff has increased by like, well, recently their stock increased by like 14%, 15% when they released their earnings that they actually beat for...
Yeah, they had awesome fucking earnings today. Their earnings, all right, it just grew on every fucking cylinder. They were just selling a shit ton on, well, one based on their data center chips, right?
Yeah, they have like four different product segments or whatever, four segments under their umbrella, which is like the data center, automotive, which is big because now they're big on Tesla. Actually, Tesla uses a lot of NVIDIA.
Well, yeah.
Tesla, their data center, and then there's their video games or games, which is also big for them.
Well,
with VR, also VR, Oculus also uses that.
Yeah, the Oculus. But you know what was interesting is that the actual chips that are typically used for like graphics is being used for the data centers and for financial analysis, which is weird. Because, I mean, what does that mean, right? Like, if you want to crunch or, like, solve algorithms or create algorithms faster, you're going to have this super high speed.
And that's one thing, like you said, that's like a lot of Forex traders do that. They need that. Forex traded currency trader, because currency is, like you said, it's basically changes by
witchery. It's evil, yeah.
Person traders are done by, like, robots.
Now, that's what you said, but you need big processing power. Well, and that's the whole thing also with, like, Bitcoin also. Bitcoin, you need.
Well, all these processors are actually to scale very strong, so they overclock them for farms, like algorithms like you're talking about, and then processors that are already in the market are becoming like more and more obsolete because they're pumping them out so fast.
Yeah, it's really weird because it's saying a lot about where these chips are being used. The second trigger you mentioned it was automotive, right?
Yeah, like you said, a lot of new car displays, like I think BMW, Audi, Mercedes-Benz uses all these different chips for like their display, especially for technology, like reading their dashboard. I think Tesla for sure uses all that. That's for them.
Yeah.
And now they have like you see their forecast production. Once they release their new car, I think it's like up to 400,000.
Well, he pre-orders. Wants to have. What do you say? He wants to have $500,000 of his model. What is it? M S.
Then which one? The new one.
Well, the one that he was projecting 500,000. Which is ridiculous. Do you know how much Toyota sells in the U.S.? Like one model, it's like I think it's the just over 200,000.
Their Corolla and Camry, which are the most popular.
Yeah, I mean, no way.
But I think Tesla's gonna take over the U.S. market eventually, because I think with their new car that they release, which is like around $30,000 budget, it's gonna. Far, I think it might be, well, compared to, I think people might start switching over to Tesla instead of like a BMW 3 Series or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the affordability is the problem. I'm surprised they haven't attacked the foreign market yet.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, also Tesla sells direct to consumer, so it's kind of different. Yeah, it's different instead of, then they have these, I guess, incentives too.
No, I'm not sure exactly if they... Don't they sell it to like Canada or something? I think they sell. No, is it all solely in the U.S. market?
I think they have their factories here. So, but you know, I don't know if they're spreading around anywhere else.
Well, fuck it, man. Nvidia's fucking selling all of those chips. They're selling the programs.
Yeah,
it's Skynet. Nvidia is Skynet. And what's crazy is that they're selling all of this shit and. Beating everybody else, crushing what we were talking about earlier. Qualcomm,
Intel.
I mean, all of these. Nvidia literally has just
Nvidia, surpassed like you say, Intel is dominant chips. For like gaming. People out of gaming. Oh yeah, I need the Nvidia and GeForce. No,
they're partnering with them now. Yeah. Literally, like
They say a lot of Alienware computers with those high processing video game computers always come with like the top Nvidia. Processors, GPUs,
A competitor of theirs, NXP. I think they're from Holland. They're competing against the NVIDIA-based for vehicle self-driving, which I hear that many companies plan to sell their model by like 2025. So it's going to be relatively soon.
Oh yeah,
and it's a big investment. It's interesting how the whole self-driving car concept, like would it operate? Like, what's it going to be? It's going to be like a type of metro type of thing where you only certain lane on the freeway a self-driving car could be or something. Because like, how do you?
No, man, it's over. It's Justice Day. It's Terminator. It's all over.
Self-driving vehicles are going to save.
I know,
because
like
theoretically, if a whole city is or the whole world is completely with self-driving cars. In a sense, it creates kind of a schedule. So
I mean, because
you know what else?
I think if someone had
a machine that wiped my ass, you know, I guess I would be on schedule.
I don't think those cars would ever operate on small streets. Yeah, I mean, it's just major streets. Because how would they know, like on small streets or something, there's a pothole or something?
All those government jobs that are like regulated by the government are they're all gonna be fully automated by robots. That's not a good thing. That's going to be the first thing that's going to go.
That depends. Because the capitalist would probably say, isn't it good that these people are now working for the private industry and not...
The big option is going to be like, what about... If these are going to be robots, there's not going to be no more workers. Tax revenue?
Exactly.
Yeah, the government's
going to just eat that up.
They're like, how are we going
to
be able to...
Oh, you know what? That might go into... Sorry.
That might go into
guaranteed income. Have you guys heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Everyone's been talking about that.
Yeah, ever since Freakonomics came out with that podcast.
Yeah. No, seriously, I think they were saying that if everybody in America had guaranteed income, it wouldn't make them lazier. It would actually give them more incentive to go do out more. So.
But there's a flaw in that. The assumption is that the economy is already in a very depressive state. Not saying that that's not true, what they were saying on that. It totally makes sense. And if I fucking had that money, for sure, I would want to invest that shit.
People would go out and innovate more. Having extra money like that,
you could save everybody. Well, yeah, that's but here's the thing, not everybody, and I think the estimate that they were talking about, I don't need any more. Thanks. That's all.
That was the most delay.
I know. I was looking for that shit. I was looking for this button. I know this fool just put this shit in his pocket. You see?
I thought you would have placed it over there. Right?
You fucking
smoke any weed with us, or
nah, I don't smoke.
How rude! How rude! Look at you talking about finance all drunk.
That's how it works.
That's all you did. Here we are, crossfaded as fuck. Anyway, but I mean, what the fuck were we talking about?
We were on Freakonomics.
Oh yeah, all right. I'm not sure if not everybody, if they had a guaranteed payment, would actually go out there and innovate. And the difference that they don't really, and you can't really consider, you can't really measure, is the people who would go innovate are the people who know what it means to not, to need that money. And what happens after a generation or two? You know, where those kids, they've never really felt that before.
They experimented this in Canada. Like, they did this through a wide range of, like, ages as well, to see what would happen. And then people that were less fortunate, kids that had no money, those families that were less well off, they had money now to be able to get that education, get that job they wanted, whatever else they were trying to pursue. So it helps. Maybe, you know, in the sub-levels, we're thinking of, like, you know, what's the middle class going to do? It's like, well, that's probably chump change for them, but they're already doing well, right?
Well, I mean, should be a percentage less. The automatic payment wouldn't be going to the middle class, right? It would be going to a certain...
That's the thing. I'm saying we should do that. I think it's across the board. I think that's what they were talking about.
And on top of that, like, all this would also do is just raise the limit of what we consider poverty, right?
Right.
And so, again, it would go back. It would just move the gauge higher, but it wouldn't necessarily change.
How about the...
Yeah.
Maybe that fluctuates supply and demand any more or less. I mean, it's just the amount of income someone has in his bank account, I guess.
Right? Yeah, but when you get your
returns back at tax season, that's an influx of payment, right, from the government, technically. It's not a guaranteed income, but... It's a return.
No, that's a return of things that you paid.
True, yeah, but you're still getting something back, right? That's the whole point.
No, it's what they took from you.
Right, but you're still getting an influx of money back. You're saying if this
I guess so,
money,
but
yeah, levels, yeah, because in a sense, yeah, because in a sense, if you would earn more, you wouldn't get nothing back. So basically, it's like I guess that's
yeah,
a whole, that's
I mean,
a whole
it's an issue. Influx, but it's like a trickery kind of, right? I mean, it's like you take it out so you feel the need, and then when you get it, you feel like it's a gift, but it's not really a gift.
It's just
a return.
Well, for the more ignorant person out there that is, you know, not into doing their taxes,
uh-huh,
for whatever reason. There you go. You know, like it's not just doing taxes to get paid. You know, because people don't even know how to do taxes half the time. They don't even.
Yeah, but they. Well, that's what I mean. Is like there's a lot of people out there that don't know that. I mean, fuck, man, you could have been having more money the entire time,
mm-hmm,
if you had just declared, like, oh, a dependent or your family.
Right. That's true.
And that would have helped out paying out the bills on a monthly basis too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sort of like, that's kind of weird how they did that. Why, I don't know why they
yeah, just, but like you said, you need proof of income for a lot of things, and that's what a lot of people
have. Businesses now, and no, that's kind of weird. How do businesses, as their own separate entities, get away with different tax revenues, especially if they're a private or public business?
What do you mean?
You know,
different tax revenues.
If it's a R&D company, you could actually, they have a lot of depreciation in their stuff, and actually that's what cuts them off. For like if you have patents and stuff,
exactly,
goodwill, yeah, that's
right,
what they use. A lot of, you said if they do like bond, they issue bonds and stuff. A lot of these are tax deductible tax items.
So
R&D, yeah, R&D is something big and major company.
An entity is better than an individual, which is
yeah. That's why many people don't like having just a company between you and two. Like I said, sole ownership or proprietorship, because they go after you. Some people turn into LLC or into an S corporation.
Exactly.
Yeah, because tax benefits. That's the whole process. If you're an R&D company with research...
But, on the other hand, let's say you're just like a guy who, you know, you had your own business and you're doing it as a sole proprietorship and you worked really hard and you built a fortune for your family, and then all of a sudden some old lady trips in your restaurant and sues you for all your fortune, then you wish you kind of incorporated that shit.
Well,
you know,
incorporated, it's like you can afford the... you know, the lawyers or whatever. But
again, or just to protect yourself.
Like, no, yeah, just to protect yourself, because like it wouldn't be fair either for like a small business to kind of build up this huge, to work so hard for their family, yeah, and then all of a sudden to have it taken away right under.
But them. Also, that's also, I think that's blame. I blame it on the person too for not understanding that they should actually convert this or try to protect yourself.
Well, that's what I mean. Is yeah, that, because that's yeah. what the purpose of yeah. Well, originally, what the purpose of turning something into an entity was
yeah,
for.
Yeah, to avoid.
But now it's like a cat. Like now it's just.
Well, laws have changed from that time where a small business could be a mom and pop shop and get away with someone getting hurt at the.
Yeah, now you said now to go after you, after your personal belongings, and that's what people.
I mean, retrospect. Think of all the saloons that had like. The saloons. Gunfights, or I don't know if you think of any type of retro restaurant you can think of.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Beer.
Yeah, you should probably get like four. We got a lot of beer. What do you guys think about this beer?
I like this beer.
Yeah?
It's just, you know, it's not too much, it's not too.
Yeah, alright, so what we're drinking right now is the Kona Brewing Company's awesome golden ale beer called the Big Wave. It's sort of like a blonde ale, right?
Yeah, I mean, I usually don't like ales. It's kind of a, I don't know, an acquired taste. I haven't reached that level yet. I don't like four ales. Yeah, it just has a really bad taste, but this one's pretty smooth. Doesn't taste so ale-ish.
Yeah, it's not like poppy or hoppy. Right?
Yeah, hoppy.
Golden ale, yeah, usually.
Yeah, well, fuck you guys. Here you go.
Cheers.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers. Wait.
8, 3.
Oh, jeez. Tony, you're really letting me down today, man. Yeah, dude. Fucking up. All right. So, all right, we talked about life. We talked about finance news. We talked about some perspectives. All right, man. Let's do some educational academic shit, okay? Okay. Personal finance.
Okay.
All right. So, what I wanted to bring up was debt. And something that most people don't know is that I think about 50... All right, no. You know what? I'm not even going to say it. A lot of people get into bankruptcy. I was going to throw a statistic that I wasn't really sure of. But a shit ton of people right now. Oh, this is the statistic. Sorry. 52% of American... No, I think 52 or 56% of Americans would not be able to pay an unexpected $1,000 bill within a month. Like, if they had to, like, out of nowhere... save up for $1,000 real quick in 1 month and pay that $1,000 bill.
Yeah, it's a cash flow issue as well.
It's a huge problem. And
especially for teens.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, you know, they have credit cards, they have lines of credits, they have loans.
Or yeah, they have a house equity line. That's pretty
good. House equity line, yeah. And I'm not saying that these aren't... Well, also, you know...
Let's make the conversation more interesting. Have you guys heard of payday loans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, calm down. You have been all over Freakonomics, man. All right. Why not? No, man. Yeah. Like,
Google's banning them from advertising. Man.
Well, here's the thing is that, I mean, a lot of people think that loans are, you know, free cash flow, and it's not.
Right.
You know, this isn't real money. This is debt that you're using, and so you got to be fucking able to pay it off.
Yeah, yeah, and if you have a lot of debt, it's better just using most of your, you know.
Yeah, learn how to budget and actually use
your cash to pay down these debts in order for you to have more cash flow once those debts.
Something that's smart to do if you have a lot of credit card debt and APRs is like, yeah, it might hurt your score. Open another credit card, do a balance transfer, and it gives you sometimes 18 months zero APR to try to pay it off.
Yeah,
I've done that too. Also, like trade transfer a balance to another card.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have the balance available first, and then there it gives you like 18 months, 12 months, depending on the company or something.
But pay it off, guys.
But pay it off.
Yeah, that's the point.
Well, yeah, and
yeah, it might ding your score, but it's not gonna ding you as bad as you not being able to pay it on time or something.
That's true.
Because yeah, at least it's a hard check on your credit score or credit record report.
Well, on top of that, man, yeah. You gotta fucking lower. You if you're gonna do that shit, you gotta make sure that the rate is below zero for 18 months is a pretty good deal. And honestly.
I mean, yeah, whole year to try to come up with it. Be smart about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending also on how much you're trying to transfer, because if it's like $20,000 or something, you can't.
Because here's the thing. After graduating, and I mean, I'm sure everyone here, or I don't know, has student loans, right?
Yeah, I actually paid, I tried to pay $400 minimum.
The amount varies for everybody.
Yeah, but
paper school.
But imagine
going over the minimum is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you always want to pay off the principal because you want to fucking chop that bitch down. But imagine, let's say your payment is $400, okay? And you make $45,000 a year, right? $400, dude. That's like about
400 times 12.
Yeah.
I would say in that situation, it makes sense for that person not to spend too much money in investments, but more in paying off debt. Because I think it'll help them more in the long run.
Well, absolutely. But the perspective that somebody should really have is essentially, what if I didn't have this $400 payment? Where would I put these $400?
Yeah, like you said, it would, like $400, putting that on a Roth IRA or something would actually benefit you more than actually trying to.
Or fucking going on a trip. Or throwing a fucking party for not having debt anymore. Or paying a fucking hooker to suck your dick.
I don't think that needs. I think that's probably.
Or like giving it to church. Or giving it to the poor.
Red
or whatever.
Cross or whatever. Or just. You say, dude, give it to your friends or burn it.
A basic economic theory, opportunity cost. What would you do with this money if you had the chance? Would you do it for yourself to make yourself better? Would you do it to, like, yeah, to help out a neighbor? Would you use it to fucking start making a movie or work on a project that you've always wanted to do? Or start that small business that you wanted to do. Or, I don't know, do a fucking trip for Vegas.
Yeah, you know? Say, go have some fun and everything and then just come back. Because that's something that's
Or invest for your future, whatever you want to do.
But I think that's like the accounting view of seeing this. It's like you have that much debt, but it's because you had that many services provided to you, and you're just—that's
the accounting view,
right?
But
right,
that's what,
right.
Yeah. But that's being like you said, knowing that your debt is because of something that you like screwed something. But if your debt is because you go and spend and splurge on stores and on excess items that you don't need and stuff, well, that's totally different.
But I think
that.
Agree.
Like, yeah, if you're gonna go like, oh yeah, let me go to the store, let me buy $200 Jordans on my credit card or something.
Well, that's it.
But like, why do you actually need those shoes?
Well, that's what everybody should be asking then, right? Is like, do I really need them right now?
I mean,
now?
Something that I know that's smart that a lot of people say, when you're going to purchase something, put it in terms of how many hours you have to work to buy that item. It's actually, yeah, it's very smart. You go, $200 shoes, you earn $10 an hour, put it, that's 20 hours of work.
That's what my friend Nick was saying.
Not even 20 or 22 hours of work before the taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, wow, I got to work 3-4 days in a row to actually buy these shoes?
Well, that's what my friend Nick was saying about, like, fitness. Like, when you go out and, you know, you work out every day and you see something that you want to eat, like a bagel or, like, a cake, and you're like, fuck, man, that's, like, 1,500 calories.
That's
self-control. It's all about.
Yeah, like, it's like, wow, man, that's like 2 hours on the treadmill.
Yeah, think about all the hard work.
You put in.
I told many people to put it like that, and they're like, oh, shit, that's actually true.
I think it should be like, I don't know, did the Nazis do this? Did they make everybody, like, work out like crazy?
No.
For the master race or
whatever?
Well,
I mean, he encouraged it.
Right? With the Hitler. Like, listen, as bad as that view is, it made everybody value, like, how hard it is to have, like, a good body or whatever.
Yeah, even broken clocks are right twice a day, right? But here's the thing is, like, and going back to our original conversation, and you weren't here, Barry, but we talked about what we thought finance was and the compound effect. And again, like, we need to grow. And that's the perspective that we should be looking at everyday life.
As an individual or as a group?
As whatever it's...
Whatever the fuck you want, Barry, because you...
I think...
Barry, you are big.
Species needs to, as a collective...
Start jerking off
more? Get off this planet. Yeah, essentially jerk off. Yeah.
Interstellar. Into space.
Yes.
So we should jerk off into space. Okay. Barry,
let the Simpsons
you're making a lot of sense right now. You're making a lot of sense right now.
I think what a lot
I think
people...
that was the beginning to Prometheus.
I think a lot of people just equate growth in terms of money as... I guess in a way it's kind of a... I wouldn't say Marxist view, but you if you gain in resources, you take that much from somebody else. And I think even Fibonacci himself was an economist who believed in that.
Yeah, he did.
Right? He believed that theoretically there could be an equal in society, and that it would be doable.
Well, I guess in a way, well, not really. Evolution parallels a lot what capitalism teaches. However, there's a lot of loopholes in capitalism.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, even though the theory of the free market industry is perhaps so much more better than communism or socialism, in my opinion, I do believe that we live in a society that has already learned about the loopholes about capitalism.
But it's still capitalism.
Is it now? I think capitalism has loopholes that will allow fascism to exist. And perhaps we live in a fascist...
Neo-fascist
country currently. A quasi-government, perhaps.
That's what they say Obama was, right? They're saying he was like...
I think that's what every president was.
He's been accused of a lot of things.
Yeah, I think every president is that. Because here's the thing is that you have two people, you have two things that are driving the industry, your country. No matter what party you are, no matter what philosophy you have, no matter what president you are, there's two. One is the people that help build this country together. And then the people who have the money to do it.
True, the people that have money to influence others' opinions or others' perspectives, like you said, all these...
That gap has become so exponentially vast.
Yeah, the whole thing that a corporation can donate unlimited money to a candidate because they're considered a person.
Segue back to corporations. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the argument against capitalism is that it's fewer and fewer... number of people who have most of the resources, and the gap just keeps getting wider and wider. Mm-hmm. And in pure Marxist theory, this creates two opposites that will fight with each other.
Yeah,
the dialectic of ego.
The whole problem too is middle class. What is middle class considered? Who knows? Because every time the world advances.
And all of now basically created the bubble of middle class.
Yeah.
But it's the shift that keeps going this way and this.
Yeah, like, are you low? But that's what they consider. Are you middle class? But are you lower middle class? Or are you...
Yeah, now we're going to have tiers. Yeah. And it's going to be like, oh, what are you? Yeah. I'm like sub-4 middle class.
But does that even mean? Because like you said, there's poor, there's rich, and there's in between. But what's that in between? Who knows? Because if the rich keep growing and the poor stay the same.
This is perfectly resembling Peachtree, the building... in Judge Dredd. Do you guys remember? It's exactly that analogy. Like, it's insane.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the way it was the entire time. And now we're just seeing the modern version of it.
But did you see him go through the building? Justice.
What the fuck?
Justice will prevail.
No, man. I mean, like... It's
that's
not,
the way I see it.
Like, the way I look at markets is that it's just like nature. It can be beautiful, it can give, it can make plentiful things, but nobody's safe. And there's a lot of casualties. But definitely, you got to look at it with awe.
I think what you're saying is there's no society where there's not going to be some... There's no utopian...
There is no utopia.
You know,
there is no utopia.
Nature
it's a beautiful
chaos.
Thought, and
that's
we can
true.
Try to make...
The human is created to err. That's what you're saying.
There's well, even
and that's
a human
within
has to capitalism.
Error. That's the thing. We're not a human.
Well, here's the thing.
Right. We have to...
Going back to, like, you know, the compound effect, I mean, yeah, the utopia would assume that everybody grows, you know, and, you know, theoretically, we would want everybody to grow. However, you can only make yourself grow.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah. And so... I know that sounds weird and a weird way to, like, I don't know. End this?
It sounds like you were going for a close there.
Was it?
Yeah, it really was.
Guys, be quiet.
No, well, I mean, basically, you know, just like nature, fuck, man, growing and trying to survive and making it in your own life, I mean, there's going to be a lot of casualties and things from you to learn from. A lot of things that happen to you, a lot of things that you're going to have to put yourself through in order to survive
experience,
and grow.
Yeah, I think that's something important. Experience helps shape a person and actually makes you learn some lessons. Like, people are like, no, it's not until you experience that you actually, wait, I remember when he was saying that it's hard once you come out of college, you have a debt. People would be like, no, it's not hard. I'll just find a quick high-paying job or something. But then, like, a year from now, what happened? Well, I can't find a job. You said, that's the whole thing.
That's what they would tell you, right? Hey, make sure to get a good paying job, you know? Because you're going to be a college
graduate. Yeah, and then you go, it's a good paying job. It's a good paying job.
Where's that job?
Yeah, it's a good paying job, but it's asking you for 4 years of work experience. You're like, wait a minute, I barely graduated and I have an internship. They're like, you know what? No, we cannot accept you.
Well, I mean, that's what a lot of people say would have been better for that person to invest that money that he used for university for himself.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people said.
That's a good question.
It begs the question, how much is your education worth?
Education versus
a lot of people are doing self-study and achieving the same heights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or a lot of people like say entrepreneurship mentality or something. Like, yeah, you know, I could go to college, mm-hmm. but is this paying me $70,000 to $100,000 for a master's degree, whatever, actually worth it when I could use that money or something? Well, you don't have that money because basically but use my mentor or something to create a company or something that's gonna
right.
And then go back to school now that I can. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
now that you have the money,
like you said, that's when you could use the loss too. You go and then you go write it off. You write it off to the government because you're bettering yourself and bettering your business because you're going up for education. I said, that's what smart
people do. Did you do?
Hey, that's a whole thing. When you have a company, don't buy the car under your name. Buy it under the company and depreciate it.
Smart. You know, that's also ethically incorrect. But
hey, but if it's the law and you can use it, go ahead and use it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Is that it's,
what was it? Are you still held liable if you get in an accident in that situation? Or is the company liable for you?
The company would be.
Really?
But if it's your company, then you already...
Well, then you're already...
Yeah, you already...
But,
yeah, because, yeah, like, I know some people that use type of laws, even professors are like, oh, yeah, you know, that whatever X person owns a company, he bought a daughter, whatever, a $70,000
Mercedes. Wouldn't you rather have the company go down rather than your fortune? I mean, or your house. Like, what if that's the only asset you have is your house? You know, and you're running like, I don't know, like a mediocre mom and pop shop, and then you know what I mean? Like,
of course, you'd rather go for your business to go down than actually your personal wealth or something.
Because you could always start another company. It's just you can never, you know, get that house back, or you can never get, you know, your marriage back. I mean, I've seen people lose everything.
Yeah. Especially, you said, no, you start losing yourself, especially if you're a male and the female expects you to be the more higher, bring in more of the income or something. And they're like, what? He's messing up or something. Let me divorce him. Once they divorce you, that's 50% for them.
Yeah,
what if
that bitch is sleeping with somebody?
Yeah,
and then she made your company pay for her lawyer.
I remember this guy told me a story. He used to be, like you said, an investment person. That used to bought a $2-3 million house, but as soon as he made a bad investment and money has to start coming out of his pocket to pay the clients and stuff, replace his money, female left him. Like, fuck this. I know he's going downhill.
She saw it coming.
Yeah, but he said he would have the new, you know, the Audi R8, whatever, all these type of cars, and buy the female. But then as soon as, like, oh yeah, I'm getting into bad situations, will you help me out? She's like, I'm out the door.
Yeah.
That tells you about life. He said, yeah, well, if you focus too much on money, I think money's going to be the basis of your... I think a lot of people focus too much on money.
People need to just live.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just need to grow.
Grow. Basically, that's true.
Hey, and by going into space, we could do that.
Yeah, we could grow into space.
SpaceX.
The day that company goes public. Oh. I swear, man.
What? Basic.
Elon Musk, come on, buddy.
I think he recently streamed a live video or something of one of his rockets or something. He would to show the public.
Oh, they did tests.
Yeah, they did tests.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the first one to go up and come back down.
Yeah.
And be reusable. Dude, you know, that's a good point that I never even thought about is we only use that rocket once.
They're retiring all the shuttles. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
One by one, like the legends.
Oh, yeah, they are. But if Virgin is investing into their Virgin Galactica, right?
It's only into in our orbit.
Their goal is to exposure? Who? The old Virgin.
Yeah, they got bought out just this week.
Yeah, and I heard...
A couple weeks ago.
I heard the CEO was more pressured to actually... Well, the one that actually started the company, he said he felt pressured to actually said it.
Oh, my
even
God.
Though he, you know, even though he's not the major shareholder anymore...
I just realized who made fun. I'm sorry. No,
but even though he's not the major shareholder anymore, he doesn't have the power to actually say what goes because he sold his... Pretty high premium, but what could you do?
I don't know how that's going to happen, man. I don't know how that's going to go because Virgin was a really good airline.
And I heard that Virgin was one of the companies that didn't care about employees' vacation policy, that you kind of had unlimited vacation. Just like I heard Netflix does that too. They don't keep track of your vacation.
Hmm. What?
I heard Netflix does
that. Netflix is really lenient. Have you seen their guidelines and procedures when they started out? It was just like ridiculous.
Yeah, I heard Virgin try to follow them because, like I said, Netflix doesn't have, they don't keep track of their employees' vacation. That practically you're free.
Everyone's like a family there. It's ridiculous.
As long as you're there for important stuff, but I guess that's probably every day to us person. You have to be there every day to get your work.
How's it working
on
YouTube?
But imagine,
oh man, YouTube must be going nuts right now.
Imagine being
we were talking about YouTube earlier, and we were like, YouTube's going through an identity crisis right now, man.
Oh my! But God. I think the brand,
if they change the policy one more time, people are going to rage. They're making YouTube Red like a premium luxury thing. It's going to be crazy.
And I heard YouTube,
their intention the entire time. Oh, trying to compete.
That creates a huge divergence of like all the mass of people and their little.
It makes a market.
And it does, but then these competition, and then oh my god, then there's Neo TV shows and
yeah, YouTube. I think even Hulu now is gonna start streaming live TV, Hulu and something else. Yeah, because
they already do it through the cable providers. Yeah.
But it makes you wonder like how many subscriptions you would have to have.
Actually, what's good about Google is they give you two and one. Mm-hmm. If you have Google Play, you automatically have Google Red, and they don't even tell you.
Facts.
Speaking about that, I think.
But that's the way I see it. I think a lot of them the whole. TV subscription and media, everybody's trying to fight Amazon has their own subscription.
But see, I think it might create a centralized system.
Amazon's going to eat them all up.
You've seen their stuff.
Recently
they reached this, I think this week or last week, they reached their all-time high, and they're starting like close to $800 stock, if I remember.
Have you guys seen Epic before? It's like a 90s like depiction. And this is like made in the 90s, I think, some late 90s. And it's called like Google Epic or something like that. Basically, it shows like this weird, video project somebody made that shows like Google and Amazon, you know, and like, oh, they make these things. They make Google Maps. They make the, you know, whatever market for Amazon. They make books or what. And everything that in that video is happening. It's kind of eerie. Mm-hmm. I think the video is
great. Like one of those Illuminati type of things where like everything that happens there is actually going. That's the whole thing. I think Amazon is always fighting against Walmart and Google because they're starting also with they're getting into the whole drone markets too for drone deliveries. Walmart's trying to do that. And
I don't know how that's going to do.
Yeah, that's true. Like how is the drone going to come on delivery side? I heard for warehouse purposes, yeah, like if they want to keep inventory, they just buy the drones.
You know who did well? DHL. They just came out with a video where DHL shows these bases, where these are homes, right? Where they basically take...
It's like a locker type of thing where you go and you open and get your package out of there or something?
Well, this is what happens. Like the delivery driver stops by at this base and then puts the item inside, like this like secure container, and it puts it into the drone. And the drone gets up and it flies off. Now, they tested this. It would take... they just sent it to like a nearby town that normally doesn't have deliveries. And it's like about a 30 or 45 minute drive where it would take for the truck driver to get there. With the drone, it only took about 10 or 15 minutes.
But yeah, like you said, people, you know how people are going to try to bring down the
drone. They'll shoot those things down.
That's the point, yeah. It's like for
yeah, large. Yeah, but shoot it down.
Yeah, shoot it down.
And then
yeah.
What happens
free
if... Yeah, what happens if... Or even the drone itself might have a malfunction when it's driving halfway and it's just going
to
drop.
It's,
like,
it's
going
to have to have like a shield
offers,
that goes on the body.
Guess who offers insurance on... Free insurance on products delivered...
Impossible.
Purchase on certain sites when you go buy on them. Google. Google offers insurance now for...
Yeah, it does give you 100%, something like that.
Yeah,
I've seen that thing
and
pop
a
up.
Good insurance. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, dude, Alphabet and Google working together.
Oh, Alphabet stocks.
Oh, money.
That's all the rich people's talking right now. It's like, did you buy that new stock? Yeah. I bought that.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much can you
invest? Oh, just $400. No,
hey,
man, cool.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, all right. So, and this is going to be the last topic.
Okay.
Because I know I already said I was going to stop, and then I was going to do other stuff.
It's just an added bonus.
This is an added bonus. This is a secret bonus collection of this shitty podcast show. Is me talking about Twitter. Twitter stock has gone horrifically wrong. And, fuck, man. Like, I'm kind of disappointed. I'm not giving up.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter, I think they even started implementing ads on their own Twitter, on the feed and stuff to try to keep up with more ad revenue and stuff. Like, you scroll down the Twitter timeline and then you see, like, oh, there's a tweet about, oh, this tweet has been added by Google, how to use Google Drive and stuff like that. You're like, what?
You guys see that new SNL where they, well, it's not really new anymore, but they had Donald come in and he was, like, you know, overseeing the show.
And oh, he was like the guest or
tweeted to the people in the episode, you know, like demeaning things while they were
acting.
They were like, what does he say? You know, and they're all acting it, but it was funny. But also, that's free advertisement for Twitter, I guess.
Well, here's the thing is, like, Twitter, when you do, like, a little bit, when you dig a little bit deeper, you realize that Twitter is making a shit ton of money with less users. So they need less users to make and put all this ad revenue. But I don't think investors really know what Twitter is. Because Twitter is not necessarily like a Facebook.
You don't
Twitter add- isn't an Instagram. Twitter is live chatting. Mm-hmm. It's live. Yeah. You know? And here's the problem with Twitter is that it's not the only live thing. But it's the easiest way to being connected live. Because streaming videos, not everybody wants to see the same live streaming shit, you know. And photos are interesting, but you get kind of tired of them. You know, you can't really interact. There's not much interaction with such photos. But you can talk to people pretty live. And that's what Twitter brings to the game. And Twitter itself isn't necessarily needed for everybody to have it. It's needed for certain people to have it.
Celebrities.
Or like media, or like mass media. Like you said, all these big companies like CBS or News, NPR, all these type of companies that share a lot of information through.
True, but also it needs the user base to grow as well, because what it needs is, and this is the thing is, these people that Twitter needs to have an account need to interact with people who don't necessarily need to have the account.
I'm gonna make another company called Public Forum, and it's just gonna be exactly like Twitter because that's what it is.
But I think I think that progression of social media is that it's more and more live. Like that's what he was saying. Twitter is not necessarily like a Facebook, MySpace. It's about something currently.
Right.
And they say that, you know, live streaming video will be taking over the recorded one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like in YouTube. It's a saturated market. Any new YouTuber will not be able to make it. They are encouraged to use the new live streaming media to make it there.
Has the president ever tweeted his state of address?
No.
I think it's going to happen, guys.
Yeah,
and that's all it's going to be for. People should not invest money in this technology called Twitter.
I have no faith in it.
Really?
I believe, you know, like what Facebook did is also the same thing that MySpace did. You know, it's
but
it's,
I think
it's the same thing. It's actually pushing people away from each other. People are more fulfilled with just like
more
because they're like, oh, what's that person? Oh, I already know what he's doing. I don't want to see him.
It's true. And I think, he's obnoxious. Why is he posting him of pictures of him? He's always
on vacation. You don't care. That's the point.
Yeah, like, oh,
you don't care.
I'm here working. He's always posting pictures that he's out on vacation drinking. Like fuck him.
Great job, guys.
Or stuff like that, right? I mean, that's the whole thing about it too. You connect with people because otherwise I don't think people nowadays text each other as much as like, oh, let me keep up with my friend. You just, I mean, the whole thing that I think Facebook is not as popular. I mean, Instagram and Snapchat are now the most used social media. But like, think about it, Facebook, I don't see their, like I said, their user. I mean, their company, their stock price went up because they reported good or anything. But I don't even think that people are now using Facebook nowadays.
I mean,
it's just everything's just like a fad. That's the way I see it. Like you use it, like, oh, whatever. Let's move on to the next thing.
Well, you see, that's what you guys don't understand is that Facebook isn't necessarily popular or effective because they're Facebook. It's because they're also WhatsApp, their Instagram, their Oculus Rift. They're other things. They're not just Facebook.
Well, now they are.
No, they've been working at this for the past 4 years. They've been doing this. This has been already. I've seen it.
Yeah,
they've been doing
acquiring
these steps.
Companies because they're smart. I think they kind of know themselves too that if we just stay at Facebook as our Facebook ourselves without acquiring these other umbrellas, we're gonna end up dying.
But it's not just
why?
That.
Because what happened to MySpace is they didn't acquire anything. Like, oh, you know, we should acquire these companies.
Why did anybody even spend the light of day on Facebook when they saw what happened to MySpace? They got lucky. Like, I swear to God, it was just like,
I don't know, man. I think Facebook was really smart about what they did.
It was the same thing. He literally you guys even remember The Social Network, the movie?
No, I do.
You know what's so funny? The board behind him had all the social medias at the time on a board, like in an axis. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll just make my own version of that. And then, you know, boom.
Many people are successful at making their own idea.
I think you're confusing like the technology with the actual innovation that's happening.
Well, now there's
because Facebook is exactly like MySpace. Yeah, you're right. But I think the way they strategize on how to implement that device, that technology, is what's so innovative about it. And Facebook was able to do that incredibly well.
I think it also depends on the management team and on the board. Like, what should we do? Because if we keep it like we are, the company's going to die out. You already know what happened in this company. You already know what's happening in Twitter. You already know what's happening in this. How do we keep so more in the market? Should we just acquire this company or nothing? Like you said, that's smart about it. You have to see. Because, like you said, social media or something like that, like I said, the way I see it, it's like people are like, oh yeah, this and that, and after a couple of years everything starts dying out. I'm like, oh, here's this new thing that comes
every out. About every 3 years.
Yeah,
the landscape
that's the thing about this. Yeah, it changes too quick.
Yeah.
And people just like progressing with new,
but that's a problem. That's a new thing, you know. That's a new thing where our technology has now forced us to change so
and
rapidly
try to keep
and
up,
adapt
try to keep up with the most
but
popular news.
I mean,
they're talking about the tech bubble now. How they have
the second
for everything.
The second tech
second
bubble.
Tech,
yeah.
The .com bubble. That is bubble.
Well, that was fun, guys. I'm going to cut it short, but man, like, you, Barry, this is your first time we do the Drunk Finance episode with you?
This is actually my second.
No, Drunk Finance?
Oh, no, Drunk Finance. Yeah, this is my first Drunk Finance.
Yeah, this is your first Drunk Finance.
This is my third Drunk Finance. Fourth Drunk Finance, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've been here a few times too.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony's been here for a few. But basically, this is it, man. We get shit faced, we get high, and we talk about, you know, business and finance and money
and
what's going on. Yeah.
Philosophy.
And try to read.
Sounds great.
Yeah, guys. What was I going to say? Hey. Oh, yeah, you, the listener. Follow me at abspodcast.com. I'm on Twitter,
like,
Instagram.
Subscribe,
yeah.
Weren't you just bashing on Twitter? I'm just kidding.
No, man. Hey, man. I'm a shareholder of Twitter.
Oh.
I believe in Twitter.
Vested interest.
Yeah. Let's not. And I have money in NVIDIA, too.
Oh, that's
so
good. That's smart. Very
oh yeah, today
I'm
a very happy camper. I'm a very happy camper today. But look, I do real analysis, or I try to, and I'm pretty sure you do. Hope you do. And
I stay current.
You stay, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I got NVIDIA. So, you know, speaking of that topic,
NXPI?
So it's $83 a share. I thought it was great. The stock is actually going down, but I also noticed that we were talking earlier that just so much self driving cars. The European scene, from what I researched, is investing more in is using more NXPI than NVIDIA.
I don't know, man. That's tough, because when I saw that conference call with NVIDIA, they were a lot of their automation, like self-driving software, is in Europe.
Module computing, because if module computing takes off and NVIDIA's on the gun with that, then they're going to get a big slice of the pie.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, yeah.
Yeah.
But and for
what on top of that, they're already getting into a lot of our artificial intelligence also. Like you said, yeah,
the data centers,
the artificial intelligence. I think now that's what we're trying to do, like integrate all this into like you said, they're trying artificial intelligence, or quote unquote what they call bots nowadays. That instead of you trying to tell somebody, just your car will tell you, like, this person, you're now driving. Be careful within 30
you
miles.
You are drunk. You are now being killed.
Right? You cannot operate the car.
You have now arrived at your home safely.
I'm going to recover your seat.
Some of them measure if you're sleepy or not. They actually measure.
Yeah, you are sleepy.
Dude, ours should just be like, I'm not moving. Here's a bed. Just sleep in.
Yeah, I'm moving. Yeah, you get on it. Why are you going to turn on? Recline your seat. Yeah. Please. Take a nap.
Please take a nap. For approximately whatever hours.
Now we're moving all oxygen from the car.
Evil robot.
I mean, but that's the whole thing when it comes to, like you said, being, we're going to be out smart by technology, but at the same time, I mean, those people that could hack these type of things is going to be crazy.
Security is a big thing.
That would be a big...
Like you said, self-driving cars, if somebody could hack the GPS system or something and then just start messing around with it, like all these cars, like, you know, that's...
Well, that's an interesting dynamic about the future, right? That if essentially technology could literally learn to get rid of us. Right? On the other hand, there's also humans that know how to get rid and crack into computers and technology.
And use that instead of...
We need to have a separate episode for this. We can do Matrix, Animatrix, Ghost in the Shell. We can bring in all these references.
I think heavy episode already.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on, guys. You guys can subscribe at abspodcast.com, also iTunes, Stitcher, and hopefully soon, because they haven't confirmed yet, Google Play. And I'm working on that. But make sure to follow me at abspodcast.com, at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All right, guys. Have a good weekend. And, yeah, man. Thanks for all the support. Thanks for all the listeners. And, just chill the fuck out. Smoke some weed and listen to music. Bye.